Well, as we come to the end of this journey, accept no mediocre marriage. We've talked about the 10 things that they don't tell you before you get married. We're going to end it by talking about something that is epidemic in our culture, and that's divorce. There's a lot of controversy about divorce. Some think it's too easy. Some think it's too hard. Some think it's an answer, that divorce is just, you know, like I bought a Chevy, but now I want a Ford. You know, what's going on? So let's start this morning by talking about what we should be doing for each other so that the D word never becomes a part of our thoughts, much less our conversation. In Ephesians 5, it says this: each one of you, men, should love his wife as he loves himself. Now, Paula took me out. Yesterday was my birthday. Paula took me out for a nice dinner. We went to a nice restaurant. And she looked fine. And I was looking around, and it was a nice restaurant. It's not like McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? And I noticed that there's several couples coming in. The women look nice. They look very attractive, very appropriate. And they had one guy had a T-shirt and a pair of shorts on. I'm thinking, men know your surroundings, right? This kind of laissez-faire kind of, you know what, I don't get dressed. It's my wife. I don't get dressed up for her. Men, get dressed up. Buy you some clothes that fit. You need more. You don't just need jeans and shorts. Look your best. Go out and express your love to your wife in the way you present yourself. So, women, wives, I'm calling out the women too here. Wives, respect your husbands. So, women, let's start with you first, because you need more correcting than the men. A man needs respect and honor. If you want him to be a growing man, an engaged man, a man who is present and there, make sure that when he comes home, he feels respect and honor. When a man comes home, this is his safe place. This is his home. This is his base. This is the place the world can't penetrate. And he needs to know that the women in his life, his children or his wife, respects him and honors him. And the first question I get when I talk about this is, well, what if he's not worth respecting? Or number one, you ain't no catch yourself for having married him. And the truth of the matter is, you respect and honor him because this is what God says you ought to do. I mean, at the end of the day, to be a follower of Jesus means that he tells me what to do. I have people say, nobody tells me what to do. Well, somebody better be telling you what to do. Because last time I checked, you ain't God nor the fourth member of the Trinity. I need somebody to tell me how to behave. I need someone who can say, do this, and I do that. Because he's bigger, better, and badder than me. Women, God says, respect your husband. Give him honor. Treat him the way you want him to see himself and ultimately be. That's your only hope of growing a great man. Respect and honor. Amen? Don't nag him. Don't badger him. Don't constantly remind him about how he's failed you. He already knows that. Trust me. He may look like he's in a stupor, but he is very well aware of his shortcomings. Men, your wife needs attention and affirmation. It was about 7 years into my marriage that I realized when Paula would say to me, how do I look? She wasn't interested in my fashion sense. I thought she said, well, you know style. And no, no, no. She was asking me, how do I look to you? Men, your wife uses your eyes as her mirrors. Attention. You pay attention to your wife. You give her affirmation. Women, respect and honor your husband. Men, give your wife attention and affirmation. Do these things constantly with love and joy, enthusiastically, and you will grow a great man and a great woman. And it takes a great man and a great woman doing the right things over time to grow a great marriage. That was good. I know. I know they don't know the difference, but we do. All right. Just want to get that out of the way. Okay? Because if we do these things, we'll stay out of divorce court. Build each other up. Now, let's talk about divorce. What are the three justifications for divorce? Matter of fact, the scriptures call divorce breaking faith. Number one, the marriage covenant is broken by adultery. You knew I was going to say that. Scriptures are pretty clear. Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. This wasn't God's idea or ideal, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. Here were guys in their culture putting their wives away for anything, for any excuse. And you need to understand, in that patriarchal society, a woman didn't have legal protection other than the protection afforded her by her husband. And though we live in a different society, this thing is still true. Adultery is the ultimate betrayal. And so I just want to warn you, I want to ask you, I want to beseech you and encourage you, don't flirt with unfaithfulness. Don't flirt on Facebook. Don't text. Don't be involved in this stuff. One man, one woman. Men, love your wives singularly. Don't open yourself to temptation. But if you've had that experience, and many people have, that covenant is broken and you are free. There's a second, I think, justification for divorce, and that's abandonment. If the unbeliever leaves, 1 Corinthians 7, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. So there are situations in which men or women abandon their homes. They leave. They desert you. And I think in that case, the covenant is broken and you are free. Let me offer a third one. That I think the scriptures infer. So be careful how you take this one. But I'm pretty comfortable with it, or I wouldn't be teaching it. I think the marriage covenant is broken through adultery. It is broken through abandonment. I also think it's broken through abuse. And I just want to say this to you. If you are in a relationship where a man is physically abusing you, ladies, get out. Get out today. Get out now. Can I hear an amen? Do not take that. Now, you would think this is a no-brainer, but my experience teaches me that it's not. Because a lot of us have weird religious backgrounds that have us in bondage even right now. Here's a weird religious idea about marriage. Women are to submit to their husbands, which means that you do whatever your husband tells you to do. If he says jump, you say how high. If he wants to neglect you, that's just your lot in life. If he abuses you, you just need to submit to that and trust that somehow God will work it out. No, you need to get a brain and leave. Amen? Abuse is not part of the package ever. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved himself and gave himself for it does not translate into a man putting his hands on a woman. Thank you. At least one person is listening. I just tell you right now, I say this in public, but any of my son-in-laws put their hands on my daughters, I kill them dead. I worry about employment later. Can I hear an amen? You do not abuse women, men. Amen? Period. Not verbally, not physically, not anyway. Are we good on that? See, but that, all that having been said, I also have to say that divorce really isn't a solution for marital problems. It's an admission that there's a breakage that we simply can't heal, and we have to go on to something else. It's sad that it should ever get to there, but it does. I'm sure that it does. And so if you've gone through the experience of divorce, let me say this to you. There is forgiveness and healing, and the love of God and the grace of God can give you a new future. I've seen people go through divorce and find someone and build a beautiful home, a beautiful relationship, and a beautiful life. And to that I say, yay, God. Amen? The mercy and grace of God are new. And so please don't live in shame and guilt. If you need forgiven, ask for forgiveness. That's what God said he would give you. If you need to forgive someone, forgive them. If someone has hurt you, robbed from you, stolen from you, abandoned you, committed adultery against you, let them go and move on. Can I hear an amen? Just move on. You say, well, David, it's not easy. No. If it were easy, everyone would do it. Hey, if it were easy, everyone would be skinny, rich, and happy. Can I hear an amen? It ain't easy, but it is doable. So let's talk about the main part of our talk today, how to stay out of divorce court, how to stay away from breaking faith. You need four things. And if you say, well, you know what, these four things, as you go through them, you say, I got all these things. Well, then give them to somebody else. Be a teacher to other people who are struggling in their relationships. The very first thing you need to stay out of divorce court is desire. The very first thing I said when we started this journey, how to know if your marriage is failing, lack of desire. Attention creates desire. Here's out of Malachi. God says, you flood the Lord's altars with your tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offering or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? Is it because the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth? Here it is. Because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage, what? Covenant. Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit, they are his. And why one? Because God wants great families. A man who loves a woman, and they love each other, and they have children. They create a family. He wants godly offspring. How is the faith perpetuated? By one man and one woman having strong faith in God, having kids, and teaching them, and them having kids, and teaching them, and on and on and on it goes. So guard yourself in your spirit, and do not break faith with a wife of your youth. Here it is. I hate divorced people, says the Lord. No, it doesn't say that, does it? But an awful lot of people hear that, particularly when they hear it in a religious context. We have so demonized divorce that everyone who's gone through it feels like they need to stop going to church after they've been through one. Isn't that weird? Can I just say this? If you are going through a divorce, had a divorce, get a divorce, something happens in a divorce, you get close to divorce, you drive a divorce, a four-wheel drive divorce. And let me just add to this. If you get arrested on Saturday night and you get out on Sunday morning, the first place you ought to want to come is your church. Amen? If you're hurting, you ought to want to come here. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to condemn you. You have already enough of that already, trust me. You already feel bad enough. You don't need me to add to the low. Can I hear an amen? It's okay to be at the gathering and not be okay. Okay? Okay. But let's just all admit, when God says, I hate divorce, what he is really saying is, I hate what divorce does to the love of the people I love. God hates it when his kids hurt. You understand that, don't you? You're a parent. Have you ever said, I'd much rather have that operation than have my daughter or have my son have to go through that? You said that. I've said that. Why? Because we mean it. That's the kind of love we have. And our next series, Yay God, the very first talk is, Yay God, you're the dad I never had. 994 times in the Bible refers to God as Father. We all want that kind of father. And when God says, I hate divorce, that's his fathering instinct. I hate the fact that I set up a man for a woman to love and experience the joy of that love, and I hate to see it die. I hate to see it broken. I hate to see divorce ever have to be the fix. But sometimes God knows that things can get so broken that the only way to move ahead is just bury that and move on. Amen? Sometimes good things just have to be left behind because they become toxic. So number one is desire. Keep your heart and your mind turned toward each other. Amen? Stay off of Facebook with your high school. Listen, I saw some girls from my school on Facebook. I said, ain't no danger to me committing adultery on Facebook. These are ugly women from Barron County. Gee whiz, thank you, Lord. I look across at my sugar babe and say, yes, thank you, Jesus. Desire. You got to want it. Here's the second thing you need. It's time. Time. When we want to turn things around, we want to turn them around now. We want them fixed now. That's why we are such suckers for TV commercials about quick fat loss, quick muscle build, quick turnaround, quick money, quick riches, quick, 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 quick. We even have a chocolate drink called Quick. The only thing you can do quick is get in debt and go crazy. Let us not become weary in doing what? Good. Oh, I just got to do the right thing. Get up, suit up, show up, do the next right thing. What do you do on Monday? You get up, suit up, show up, and do the next right thing. What do you do on Tuesday? You get up, suit up, show up, you do the next right thing. And all of a sudden, after a while, you strung a lot of those get up, suit up, show up, do the next right thing days together. And you create an environment in which God can bless. And so let me insert something here. For a lot of people who talk to me and say, you know, well, my faith is stale and God seems distant. And it just doesn't work for me. You know why? Because you're not working it. God is not magic. He doesn't just say, if you will just say, God, I love you. I'm sorry I messed up. Fix me. And God says, okay, great. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure you want to be fixed by me? Because you ain't no refrigerator. Right? My refrigerator breaks. A guy comes out and says, you need part Z. It'll take 2 weeks. Everything is 2 weeks away, isn't it? And he gets part Z, plugs it in. Guess what? I got ice. You're not a refrigerator. You're not a washer. You're not a dryer. You're not an HVAC unit. You're a person. And you didn't get messed up like you are today overnight, and you won't get healthy overnight. It's going to take some time, which means you're going to have to lighten up. In our live event, we talk about the 7 must-haves of an amazing marriage, and we use the word amazing, A-M-A-Z-I-N-G. I'll give you the last G, great sense of humor. If you married someone with no sense of humor, you are screwed. Amen? I mean, seriously. Last night, yesterday was my birthday, and my family came around and gave me a lot of nice presents and stuff. And I'm not sure who. I think Paula gave me a pair of underoos. Iron Man underoos. I have them on, right? So, no, I'm just kidding. I thought that was cute. Got to have a sense of humor. Because it doesn't get better overnight. God's not going to fix you overnight. God's not going to fix your finances overnight. He's not going to fix your kids overnight. But he will do it over time. If you need a miracle today, you're probably out of luck. But if you need one and you give God some time, he can do amazing things in your life. Desire, I want it. Time, I'm willing to pay the price. Write this down. Tweak this out. This is good stuff right here. There's no shortcut to any place worth going. Not in your marriage, not in your career, not in your life, and not with God. All right, let's just say now we've got desire and time. Will that do it? No, that'll just make you a more stupid, persistent sinner. Right? What's the third thing you need? You need knowledge. You need to know what to do. I've given you a great start this morning, ladies. You want to know what to do to begin to turn your husband around? Give him respect and honor. You may have to hold your nose the whole time you do it. Do I have to ring? Oh, yes, you do. Suck it up. Amen? Men, you have to give your wife attention and affirmation. Take her somewhere nice and buy some clothes so that you look nice. You mean I have to dress up once a year is not going to kill you? And if it does, I'll bury you for free. Amen? Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. But hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. There is no get rich quick. There are no secret formulas. It's just hard work, getting smarter, learning, growing, being teachable over time. I say no person ever marries a boring person having no fun, but most married people wind up there. If you're going to have a great marriage over time, I'm talking about 25, 35, 45, 55 years of a great marriage, the one wild card in that whole relationship is, am I continuing to learn and grow and become excited and curious? Am I learning new things and having new adventures with my wife? Or are we just repeating the same old stale habits? You know what I'm talking about? You know how we do. We get up every day at the same old time, get dressed in the same old way, look in the mirror and see that same old tired face. Go out and have the same old oatmeal, get into the same old car, drive the same old way, do the same old work, see the same old people, have the same old lunch, get the same old indigestion, get off at the same old time, fight the same old traffic to the same old house, get back in the same old house, sit in the same old chair and watch the same old TV, have the same old TV dinner, go to bed, ask the same old question, get the same old answer, and turn over and do it all over again. Can I hear an amen? Jesus said, some people are like the blind leading the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, how can they do anything but fall into a ditch? If you are married to a person who's learning and growing, who wants to go and pay the price to get more training, to learn how, we understand that you don't want your doctor having his degree from a Wheaties box, right? You want to make sure he has knowledge. Do you understand this? Do we all understand this? But in America, we think that if you love me and I love you, it'll just all come natural. No, it won't. The natural thing to do is to be selfish. Come on, let's be honest. The natural thing is to look out after my best interest. That's the natural thing to do. But if you are selfish and you are self-absorbed, you are not relatable. No one's going to get along with you. You're going to be poverty-stricken. We're going to bury you, and you're going to have to go in debt just to get the box. So you might as well learn how to be relatable. People who are relatable are likable, and people who are likable make more money. We do business with people we like if we have the choice, amen? We go to restaurants, we treat us with respect if we have the choice, right? We spend our money with people that we like and who give us respect. This is not brain surgery, but it takes learning certain things about how to get and stay on the same page for the rest of your lives. And it takes knowledge, learning. The moment you begin to stagnate, so does your marriage. Are you with me? And I have people say, I haven't read a book in 25 years. Please don't tell us. As a matter of fact, we already have figured it out. I'm just not a reader. No, yes, you are. God gave you eyes and the ability. You can read. You can grow. You can get smarter. You can be a part of a group. You can hang around people who are farther down the road than you. You can get all the knowledge you need if you have desire and time. Malcolm Gladwell, in his seminal work, Outliers, studies the reasons behind extraordinary success. And one of the things that Gladwell says is that every person who excels in life has first invested 10,000 hours of study, work, and experience in a certain area. And he gives examples of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and the guy who started Cisco and the other examples. Well, I would say relationally it's the same way. When we get married, we think that when we get married, that our relational competency is as its zenith. Noah and I were dumb as sticks. The only thing we want to know to get married is enough information to say, I do. And we're going to spend the rest of our lives learning each other, learning about life, walking with God, having kids, making mistakes, falling down, getting back up, learning again, asking for the grace of God. This is life. There's no poof. There's no pill. There's only experience and knowledge and skill over time and a heart that desires. So, four things you need to stay out of divorce court. First one is what? Desire. The second one is? You need some time. It's either get better or go to divorce court by Friday, just go Monday. Just save yourself the whole week. Skill or knowledge. Getting smarter. Learning. Finding out. Going to conferences, going to live events like this happening on November 12th. Or you say, well, I want to go somewhere else. There are tons of opportunities. You got to do is find them. And here's the last one. You need help. Only in America do we take a man and a woman, put them together, and then cut them free from their families. That man and that woman somehow has this idea that as a man, I don't want my family meddling in my marriage. You understand? As a woman, I don't want my family meddling in our marriage. You understand? And then we say, now because all of your guy friends were single friends, you need to cut them loose. And all of your girl friends were single friends, cut them loose. Because now it's me and you against the world. And we are to move to Conflict Island, where we live together alone, where we mess up together alone, where we get on each other's nerves alone. Listen, I don't care how much you love a person. Sometimes you just want to slap them. Come on. Have you ever just looked at your husband and said, a good slap is all you need? As iron sharpens iron. Well, if iron hits iron, they're going to be what? Sparks, exactly. You can be deeply in love with a person and they can drive you nuts all at the same time. Sometimes you can be so close to the conflict that you have no perspective whatsoever. Right? Whew. I've seen people quit way too soon. I'm seeing them give up on college too soon, their career too soon, their dream too soon. This town is a dream buster, isn't it? I see people move here. I saw a guy moved here from California. He was here about 14 months. He's gone back. Okay, well, you know what? If you want to move, this is to all of my friends on radio. If you want to move to Nashville and become the next big thing in 14 months, stay home. We don't need any more waiters and waitresses in Nashville. Stay home. I say that with love, but just stay home. We need serious people. Amen? Serious people. You understand what I'm saying? Serious people. People who take this seriously are smart enough to ask for help. I need you to help me. That's why God saved us, kept us here, and put us in families, and our families create churches so we can help each other. Well, what do we say? Well, don't tell anybody that we're in debt and we're about to go bankrupt. Don't tell anybody about that. Oh, well, whoopee-doo, like we would really be surprised that you're that dumb. Go to church. We go to church and we put on our finery and we dress up. Well, not here, of course. We just come as we are. But I remember when I was a kid going to church, man, people be dressed up. Remember the women's hats? And there was a time, honestly, when it was normative. It was normal to wear dead animals around your neck. Oh, yeah. You know, like a fox with its, you know, put around and tied to its tail. You do that today, and it'll go, brutally. What's your problem? Right? We dress up. We look good. We would wear clothes and look the way we never looked any other part of the week. Why? Because the very place we should have been able to go and be truly open and honest about our sin and brokenness was the very place, the last place we ever want to tell anybody the truth. We hear sermons about God and Jesus, and we're just supposed to swallow the whole thing with no question. Heaven and eternity and hell and all this other stuff. This guy's up here screaming, waving a big book at us, thinking, well, he must know what he's talking about. Can I just tell you the truth? He's clueless as well.
That's right.
I hate to out my brothers, but we're fellow strugglers. We're supposed to be able to come to our church, to come to our family, come to our friends, and say, you know what? Will you walk with us through this? Because we are so mad and upset and hurt and wounded that if we make decisions on the basis of our emotional feelings right now, we're going to do something we both will regret. Amen? What's wrong with saying, I need help? What's wrong with coming to an FPU class like we have here at the gathering? What's wrong with coming to a live event and saying, you know what, we need to learn how to to love each other better and know how to be married? What's wrong with buying a book and going through it together? What's wrong with joining a small group and being open and honest and opening up to other people? What's wrong with going to your mom and dad and saying, we're in trouble, will you help us and will you walk through us? Or his parents. Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool that you liked his parents? And you like, well, this would be like really bizarre. You liked her parents? And you could all like be in the same room together. I mean, most people in America, let's be honest, the only time their in-laws and outlaws are in the same room together is when they are married or when they're buried. And when we bury you in Kentucky, we can't even endure it then unless we're eating fried chicken. You die in Kentucky and we will eat our way to our comfort. Oh, please tell me that you are man enough to ask for help. You're woman enough to ask for help. That you understand that that being a parent and doing life alone sucks. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, it's the first not good in the Bible. Remember that in Genesis 1, God created light, it was good, and the dark, it was good, and the first day, and it was good, and the water, and it was good, and the, you know, the animals, it was good. And then he said, it's not good that man should be alone. Why? Because we can't do it alone. Amen? You can't live alone. You can't win alone. What do you need to stay out of divorce court? Desire, time, knowledge, and help. Say it with me. Desire, time, knowledge, and help. One more time. Desire, time, knowledge, and help. Father, I bow and ask you to add your blessing to your word. I pray this 10-week journey has been a great stimulus and start, that the information and the application will find your blessing. Build our families. Build these men to be man up men, godly men. Build these ladies to be beautiful, feminine, strong, kick butt, confident women. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.